Today I want to talk to you about glory, If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 2. Today we're going to just look at one verse in Luke chapter 2, but it is the foundation for my message today. That's Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The title of our sermon today is Giving Glory Where Glory is Due. Giving Glory Where Glory is Due. So Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says this. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about glory. The Bible speaks about glory, or the term glorious or glorify, over 538 times in the King James Bible. That's a lot. This is a major theme in the Bible. It's pretty important. Right? But I don't know if you're like me. Have you ever just sat and thought, like, what does glory even mean? What does the word glory even mean? I mean, we sing glory to God in the highest. We sing songs about like it, like we did today in hymn 19, to God be the glory. We read about it in scripture. We even hear people say things like, when they do something good, like, well, don't give me the glory, give the glory to God. Well, what does that mean? I mean, have you ever thought, what really does bring glory to God anyway? I mean, what brings glory to God? How can you and I, as imperfect beings, bring glory to a perfect God? How can we do that? And so I want to give you a couple of ideas today that you can start bringing glory to God immediately in your life. Not tomorrow, not a week from now, not stuff you have to work on, but immediately you can do these things. But first, we have to figure out what does glory mean, because you can't give it to him unless you know what it means. Who knows what glory means? Who has an idea? Anybody have an idea what the word glory means? Brother George?
Giving God the honor.
So honor and respect? So to glorify something would be give it honor or respect? Yeah, that's good.
Acknowledging him.
Acknowledging him? Yeah, absolutely. In the dictionary, the word glory says to have great pride in. To take pleasure in, to revel in, or rejoice in, or delight in. And like George kind of gave the definition from the New Testament of what glory means. In the New Testament, the word glory is translated to dignity, honor, praise, and worship. And in the Old Testament, it talks about the idea of the greatness or splendor of God. So you kind of put these things together and you think, what does this mean? It means that we're supposed to, if you want to bring glory to God, that we're supposed to acknowledge his greatness. We're supposed to give him honor by praising and worshiping him. And we're supposed to realize that he alone deserves praise and honor because he is the creator of all life and all good. When you get ordained as a pastor, you receive this title, Reverend. So on formal documents, if I'm doing someone's marriage or a memorial service, a life celebration service, a funeral service, whatever I'm doing, my official name I have to sign is Reverend Alan Barris Jr. But if you ever notice, I don't go by that. You can call me anything you want. But Pastor Alan is what most people call me. And do you know why? Maybe you don't know why. But I'll tell you, because I am no one that you should be reverent over. The only person you should be reverent about is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And folks, I'm not him. I'm just a regular person. Now, if you were to be reverent and to give glory and honor and praise, the person you need to do that to is Jesus Christ, not me. So that's why I don't go by the name Reverend. I feel uncomfortable about it because I'm not perfect. And I don't want anybody to be reverent to me. I want you to be reverent towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Luke chapter 2:14, this is a familiar scripture. And what the scripture says is something simple. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Does that scripture sound familiar to anybody? Who's heard that scripture before? Yeah, a couple people have heard that before, right? Well, good, it should be. It should be something familiar to you because that scripture comes from the time where Jesus was born. That's where the angels were announcing the birth of our Lord and Savior to the shepherds. That's always kind of been strange to me. Like, if I had the greatest news in the world, would I tell it to some shepherds that don't have any big impact on the world? Or would I go tell it to the president? Or would I go tell it to, back in that day, the Sanhedrin Council? Would I go tell it to kings and queens? But that's not what happened. They came and shared this wonderful message about the Messiah being born, these angels, to some shepherds. And so once they finished delivering the news, verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" They were praising God and worshiping Him. And that's the first way that you and I can bring glory and honor to God. I can't tell you how many churches I've been in where people don't want to bring glory and honor to God. I think they do in their heart. But what happens is you go to a church and people aren't singing. People aren't listening to the words that we're saying in hymns or in our songs that are on here. Maybe they're just sitting there quiet. But what I'm saying is that if you want to praise and worship God, you need to praise and worship God how you're comfortable. If you want to stand up and shout, stand up and shout. If you want to raise your hand when you worship God, do that. If you want to stand like Brother George does when we read God's word, do that. Folks, this is a private worship session. There may be a bunch of people around you, but this is between you and God. If you want to honor and bring glory to God, you've got to do it how He tells you and how He's talking to you. But I'll tell you that singing is one way you can worship. Praising is a way you worship. Praying is a way you worship. But if you want to bring glory and honor to God through worship, you know what worship really is your relationship with Jesus all through the week. It's not just what you do here in a church building. It's how you live your life. You can worship God in how you live your life. If you're in a bad mood, you're having a bad day, you have a couple of choices. You could take your bad attitude out on everybody else in the world. Has anybody ever done that before? Oh yeah, I've been there. Or you can choose to set an example and put that attitude away and set a great example for people. You know, some of the strongest examples you'll set is when people are mean to you. If you're in the customer service industry, you know about people being mean. Right? Freddy's, all your customers are perfectly nice. Never had a mean customer in your life? Yeah, so same thing. Walmart, I wish Alyssa was here. She could tell us some stories. I had a person at Walmart the other day. Was lady, nice lady. Looked nice anyway. She's in front of me. She goes up there with a coupon. And her coupon was for $1.50 off two Nabisco sets of crackers. And so she goes up there, but they had to be a certain size. See, I don't know what the sizes were, but it had something point, something ounces it had to be. And so they scan her little Nabisco crackers, and she gives that $1.50 coupon off. And the cashier, she scans it. And it doesn't go through. It doesn't work. And that lady goes, "Well, I don't know what's wrong with your system. There's always some problem." It's a $1.50 coupon. I was about to give the lady $1.50, like, stop being mean to this poor cashier. So the cashier looks at it and she says, "Well, it says your things have to be 14.6 ounces or something, or bigger, and yours are smaller than that, so the coupon doesn't apply because they're smaller than that." And she goes, "That's ridiculous. I didn't see that anywhere." So the lady shows her on the coupon. They pull these Nabisco crackers. They look at them. And she goes, "I don't care what that says. I should have this $1.50 coupon because I bought two boxes of Nabisco crackers." So they call the manager over, and the manager says, "Okay, sure." Types in her, she didn't read any of anything. She types in her code, and bam, the lady got her way. And, you know, the lady could have been nice, the customer, but she looks at the cashier with this evil look like, "I got my way." And she turns around, and now, I don't know exactly how I would have acted in that situation, but I can tell you the cashier was amazing. She said, "Ma'am, I really do hope your day gets better. I'm sorry if you had a bad experience today." Now, most of us are thinking we would have wanted to whoosh, right? But she acted wonderful. And because the way she acted, I'll bet she made that lady think about the way she behaved. You see, worship isn't something that's just done in church. It's something you do everywhere in your life by living for God and being the light He's called us to be. I'll tell you, as the world gets to be a darker and darker place, your light is going to shine brighter and brighter. There was a guy who's harassing Angela when I went to Rebels one time. She didn't even know I was there. It was hilarious. This guy's giving everybody a hard time. But she's just as nice as can be. You see, when you live a life like that, you bring glory and honor to God. And that's what worship is about. You want to bring glory and honor to God today? Worship Him, not just in church, but everywhere that you go in your life. So that's the first point I had. The second thing is, if you want to immediately bring glory and honor to God, you've got to love other believers. You know what I hear is the biggest problem in churches today? The biggest problem is that other Christians are being judgmental towards other Christians. It's like they're all fighting in their own little pot. It's like putting a bunch of fire ants together in a bowl and watching them go at it. I mean, I was a bad person before. I still am sometimes. If Shannon was here, she'd probably say amen to that. Andrew's shaking his head. That's not funny, Andrew. But my brother and I were over, and we're boys. And boys do disgusting things. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so Shannon was gone, and we found a little scorpion, and we found a wolf spider. And we just wondered, if you put them both in the same dish, what's the strongest one that would survive? So my brother thought it was the scorpion. I thought it was the wolf spider. And the scorpion stung the wolf spider's body and ripped all its legs off, and it was terrible. So anyway, it would have been great if my wife didn't show up in the middle of this while we're watching around the bowl like, come on, buddy, you can do it. She's like, what are you doing? Nothing, you want to see it. And so then that provokes her more. She wants to see what's going on. So she comes in there and looks like, you are horrible. And we thought, we're just having a little fun. And then anyway, she wanted me to kill the scorpion. She said, well, you should kill the scorpion. He's a champion. I can't kill the scorpion. He's the man. He destroyed that wolf spider. Well, then you better get it out of the house. Then at night, we just did other things. At night, I started thinking, and I thought, man, I am a horrible person. That was a terrible thing to do. I shouldn't have done that. But it set something in my mind, and I think church people sometimes are the same way. We get in these battles with each other, and we rip each other down instead of lift each other up. God said, that's not what a church family does. It's not what I created you to do. You want to bring glory and honor to me? Listen to what he says in Romans 15:7. He says, accept one another. That's a hard one. Accept one another. Doesn't mean you have to like one another, that you have to want to do what the other person's doing. It says you accept them the way they are. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. You want to bring praise to God, you got to accept each other the way that you are. Just like Jesus accepted you. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But he accepted us the way that we are. That's what we got to do to one another if we want to honor one another. You see, Jesus wants us to work together as a team to glorify him. Does anybody know what that word team stands for? Has anybody been in management training where they teach you, team, together everyone achieves more? Right? You never heard that? I've been in way too many management training sessions. But anyway, that's one of the things they say. And it's absolutely true. Listen, Romans 12:9-13 tells us we got to put our love for one another in action. We can't just talk about it. We shouldn't be like a spider and a scorpion fighting together in a Tupperware bowl. We should be people that are getting along and loving one another. Here's what it says. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. That means don't flirt with it. Don't play with it. Hate it. Don't do it. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So that person in church, that person outside of church, you should honor them even above your own self. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Not one of those things does he say, if a person is irritating you, give them the boot. He doesn't say that, does he? No. He says, if you want to bring glory to me, you need to accept each other the way I accepted you. He says, you want to bring glory to me, then you got to cling to what is good. You got to be devoted to one another. You got to honor one another above yourselves and share with each other when they're in need. In essence, what the scripture is saying is we need to care for each other the same way that God cares for us. That brings me to my third point. If you want to bring glory and honor to Christ, you've got to try to be like him. After all, we call ourselves Christians. Have you ever seen a Christian do a bad thing? Anybody? I have this funny story. There's a man. I really like this guy. He was a great guy serving in our church. I'm not saying this is a bad or horrible thing, but it was just a funny thing. And he's a leader in our church. And so what we believe is that alcohol can lead to sin and drunkenness and all kinds of things. This is right after church is done. We go to this place to get a hamburger. Now, they have these ice chests with root beers and IBC cream sodas. And then they have a plethora of real beer. So they're in front of us. They don't even know that we're in there. He comes and he grabs this thing, grabs himself a Budweiser. He's holding it up there. We don't say anything, whatever. That's between you and God, what you want to do or don't want to do. He's got this Budweiser, you know. And we come in and I'm like, hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing? He's like, oh, I don't know how I got this, man. This is supposed to be a root beer. I didn't say anything about his drink. I didn't even draw any attention to his drink. I wouldn't even have known it was a Budweiser if he wouldn't have done that. It was in a brown bottle just like the IBC root beer. But it was so funny. Why? Because he wanted to set a different example for me than the one he was setting by holding that Budweiser in his hand. We as Christians, the very word Christian means to be Christ-like. So we use this word, we call ourselves Christians. But then there are certain things that we don't want to do to be Christ-like. We have certain sins in our life that we just don't want to, we don't want to address those things. We're going to kind of bury them. We don't want to tell anybody about them. We just want to kind of hide them. But you see, Christ-like and intentional sinning just, they don't go together. Because Christ never would intentionally have done anything wrong. He never did do anything wrong. He's never sinned. And so if we want to be glory and honor to God, we want to bring that to him, we got to try to be Christ-like. And you say, well, how can we become Christ-like? Well, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act, the more we developed our Christ-like character. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 18. It says, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, their veil is taken away. Now the Lord is in spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Holy Spirit. So if somebody was to say, well, how can I become like Jesus? Let me put this in terms that are easier to understand. I grew up in South Chicago, and I like basketball. I didn't know anything about KU. I didn't know anything about the Big 12. I didn't even know KU was an important team or K-State. But you know what I did know? Michael Jordan, he was the man. He was everybody's hero that liked basketball in Chicago. And if there was anybody I could be like, it would be him. Sure, I'm not. I got some differing problems here, right? Like, he's athletic and I'm not. He's black and I'm white. He's tall, and I'm short and fat. But so we had some differences here. But that didn't stop me because I wanted to be like him. So I watched the Bulls games. I went and watched him in real life. I watched him on TV. I read books that he came out with. I played basketball with my friends all the time. And you know what? I never did turn into Michael Jordan, obviously. But I did start playing basketball better. Because I tried to model my hard work and my life after what he was doing. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is if you want to become more like Christ, you have to model your life more like Christ today. You're not going to get there doing nothing. You're not going to become a Christian by doing nothing. I had a little kid in children's church. Little kids say the greatest things. And I was talking to him one day and I said, you know, how can we become more like Jesus? And this little kid, he's super excited. He's jumping up. He's like, I know. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me. How can you become more like Jesus? He goes, well, Pastor, you just have to have parents like mine. And I'm thinking, oh, listen to this wisdom that's going to come out of this kid's mouth. And he goes, they named me Jesus. That's all you need. I'm like, nice. Nice. That's not really what I'm talking about, but nice. No, if it was only that easy. To be like Jesus, it takes dedication. It takes desire. And that takes some hard work. It takes being in His Word. It takes listening to preaching and teaching. It takes learning those things that you read in the Bible and putting them into practice. That's how you can become more like God. Sure, you can get the name Jesus if you have cool parents like that kid. But to be like Jesus, you have to put those things into practice. I love what it says. Jesus, He tells us about grace and love and forgiveness and mercy and all these great things that every one of us wants. He tells us about eternal life. Hey, well, if you can choose between living in a fiery lake of death, tormented by demons, or live in heaven with no pain or sorrow, where would you want to go? Hey, heaven sounds like a great option, right? So God gives us all these nice things. But then Jesus talks about some stuff that's miserable to us. In Luke 6:28, He says, you got to love your enemy. Like, so, do I write the word love on my knuckles? Like, L-O-V-E? Is that why He gave me four knuckles? And then I just, and that's how I show Him I love Him? Nope, that's not what Jesus said. He said you have to bless those that curse you. I don't know about you, but I don't like being nice to people who are mean to me. You know, do you like doing that? No, that's a tough thing. And then He says, you got to pray for those that mistreat you. Now, that's kind of easy if you misunderstand this. Because you can get down and you can be like, Lord, I pray that person never comes over to my house again. I pray that they just move out of the country. I don't know even why they're here, Lord. I just pray that you get them out of here today. Amen. Right? But that's not the kind of praying He's talking about. He's talking about, I pray that you'll help us to understand our enemies. You pray that your enemy no longer becomes an enemy. You pray that whatever your enemy is suffering with, that goes away for them, that they find God. That's tough things. And then Jesus kind of slaps us in the face. In Luke chapter 6, verse 32, He says this, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. And here's where it gets hard, verse 35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Folks, if you want to bring God glory, you got to get to know Him and start acting like Jesus. The next way we can bring God glory is through our gifts. Every single one of us here has a gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. Every one of us is unique. We all have a different fingerprint. We're like those snowflakes that are happening in Garden City right now. We're all unique. We all have different skills. We all have different talents and gifts and abilities. And God didn't give them to us for us to use them selfishly. He gave them to us to build His kingdom and to help others. People in our church, we have all kinds of gifts that God has blessed us with. We have people who have a gift of praying, a heart for those that are hurting and mourning. We have people who have a heart for the lost, that are willing to risk anything to go and witness and share the love of Jesus Christ with other people. We have people who are gifted with their hands, who are able to construct and repair and build things and fix stuff. We have people with the gift of music who are able to play and dynamically adapt to their crazy pastor on the fly. We have people who love to sing. We have people who are good at encouraging people and teaching people and serving people. God has equipped our church to seek and to save those who are lost. He's given us all the things that we need. It's amazing what God can do and will do if we will just use everything He's given us for His glory. The fifth and final way I want to share with you that you can bring God glory is by telling other people about Him. There's a scripture that really haunts my mind. It says that if you're ashamed of me, then I will be ashamed of you. Anybody ever had your parents ashamed of you or somebody you love ashamed of you? That's the worst. I remember getting in trouble as a kid. my mom would tell me, go up to your room until your dad gets home. And I go up to the room, my dad, I'll sit there for what seems like forever. Finally, my dad gets home, and I think, my dad is going to beat me to a pulp when he finds out what I did. And the only time I ever really remember my dad disciplining me was this one time. I'm sure he's done it many others, but he came and he opened the door, and you know what he said, Miss Marguerite? He said this to me. He said, Alan, I'm really ashamed of you. And he shut the door. I didn't get grounded. I didn't get spanked. I didn't get yelled at. He just told me that he was ashamed of me. And it broke my heart. Because my dad was my hero. I wanted him to be proud of me. I wanted him to be happy with everything I ever did. I never wanted to let my dad down. And when he said he was ashamed of me, it broke my heart. Folks, if we want to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, we got to tell other people about him. That scripture haunts me that says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you're ashamed of God, if you're ashamed of Jesus, he'll be ashamed of you. You got to be willing to go out there and testify. Tell people what God has done for you in your life. You got to be willing to go out there and to seek and to save those that are lost just like he did. You got to go and do the Great Commission like it says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, right? Where it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptize them. Teach them to be disciples. That's what we're supposed to be doing. God doesn't want his love to be kept a secret. Once we know the truth, he expects us to share it with other people. God is never called a silent follower. He wants you to glorify him with what he's given you. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not the kind of person to witness to somebody by the way I talk or the way I live my life. Well, then you better pray about it. Because Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is a command. It's not a question. It's not something you could do if you want to do it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want Jesus to be proud of me. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. I want to bring him glory in everything I do in my life. There are times when we sin, when we fall away from God, and that doesn't bring him glory, and we have to come and repent. But God gives us forgiveness and mercy and grace. He loves us. He wants us to help. He wants to help us. I'm going to share one more thought, and then I close. I don't know if you know this or not, but the entire reason you were created was to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7 says, bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. There's so many ways to glorify God. I couldn't tell you all the ways in 30 minutes, in an hour, in 2 days, or even in a month. But I just wanted to share a couple of things with you. Because God deserves our glory. He deserves our praise. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let me ask you, who are you living for today? Are you living for yourself? Or are you living for Jesus? You see, because Jesus created you, so you should be living for him. When are you going to start doing what God created you to do? When are you going to start really glorifying God in your life on purpose? Coming to church is a great start. But glorifying God goes far beyond stepping inside a church building. Glorifying God is worshiping him with everything that you are, everywhere you go. So if you want to start glorifying God today, you can start right now by praising and worshiping him. Use words of joy and love and action. Worship him and sing with all your heart, whether you sing great or not, with a plan and a purpose to glorify him. Again, it's not about us. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Worship and praise the way God's leading you to. Second, love other believers. Folks, there's no room to talk bad about another person. You want to talk bad about them, it says to pray for them. Pray for those that mistreat you. There's no room for gossip or backstabbing. There's no room for that in the kingdom of God. That doesn't glorify him. You want to judge another Christian or another person? Pull the plank out of your own eye first. Instead, accept them the way that Jesus Christ accepted you. Encourage them. Love them. Forgive them. Teach them. Have mercy on them. Care for them and pray for them. Third way you bring glory to God is by becoming more like Christ. You aren't going to become more like Christ without trying. It takes effort. If you want to glorify God, you really got to get to know him by reading his word, exercising what you learn, spending time with him in prayer, and listening to him as much as you talk to him. The next thing is to serve others with your gifts. Don't use your gifts selfishly. Use them to glorify God. And finally, tell people about Jesus. Tell them about the changes he's made in your life. I wasn't going to share this, but I have to. I remember a couple years ago, Andrew's coming to church faithfully. And he'd come down here and he'd pray for his dad. This was before Kylie was in the picture. But he would come down and he would pray for his dad every single Sunday. Said, I want my dad to know Jesus. I talked to Gary a couple times in passing, but I never really knew him as a person at this point in time. One day, Gary was sitting over where Andrew's sitting right now. And he had kind of a frown on his face. I went over and I said, hi, I'm glad to have you in church today. And he said, well, don't try converting me or turning me into some believer or any of that other stuff. I'm just here because I've seen a difference in Andrew. And I want to know what's going on with my kid. It's what a good dad does. I said, all right, good. I thought he might punch me in the eye, but he didn't. He was nice to me. If I wore a K-State shirt, he might have, but it was good. So he sat over there, and he listened, and he came to services. He wasn't even a Christian, and that guy was at every service our church had. He was at Tuesday night prayer service. He was at Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday mornings. He wasn't even a Christian, and he was more faithful than most of the people in our church. And he sat back there. And he listened and he listened and he listened. And then he'd ask some questions that were hard questions. Some I knew the answer to, some I didn't. And then he came down one day and asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. Why? Part of the reason is he had a son who was praying for him and loved him. He was willing to give God a chance. He was a dad who loved his own son so much that he wanted to see what was going on with his children. And you know what? God loved his own son, Jesus Christ, so much that he sent him down here to see what was going on with his children too. I love your love for your family, Gary. I think it's precious and something every man should have for his son. It's certainly the same kind of love that God had for his son, Jesus Christ. You want to be a Christian. You want to bring glory to God. Live your life in a way that glorifies him. Don't be ashamed to talk about him. Share him. When we allow God to work in our life, everything you do, everything you touch, will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. What do you have to be thankful for God? How can you bring him glory today? Did he save you from your sins? Did he give you an eternal place in heaven? Says he's building a mansion up there for you. Did he answer a crazy prayer request like he did for Dave Whittington? Are you in good health today? What do you have to praise God and glorify him for? If you have anything to praise and glorify God for, I want you to come after our prayer
come to the altars, pray where you're at, whatever you want to do. But I'm not ashamed of what God did in my life. I'm so thankful. I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to pray and I'm going to thank God for everything he's done in my life. If you want to bring glory and honor to him today by doing that, you're welcome too. Would you please stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you are awesome. I will scream your name to the heavens. I will share it with every person you put in front of me. Lord, I am so thankful for what you did when you saved me from my sins. But God, I'm also thankful, Lord, for the way that you let us glorify you here on earth. God, you've given us a place in heaven. You put people in front of us that we love. God, you've shown us how to love one another, how to forgive one another, how to have mercy and grace on one another. You've teaching us how to live like a Christian by reading your word and praying to you, God. Help us, Lord, to accept others the same way you accepted us, God. Lord, I know there's times in my life, Lord, I've been judgmental. I know there's times in my life, Lord, where I've failed. And I thank you, God, for not just judging me on that one sin I committed and just sending me out of your kingdom forever. God, help us not to do that with other people today, Lord. God, you have given us life. Every one of us in here is alive and we have breath in our lungs because you created us, Lord. Every single one of us in here today has something to be thankful for. God, as we get ready to think about and to worship you, Lord, as we're closing out today, God, I pray that if you're calling somebody to come and praise you for anything, whether it's good health, whether it's forgiveness of sin, whether it's giving them a wonderful wife or son or child or husband, God, whatever you've done for us, answering a prayer, God, help us to give you glory. God, we are Christians. We do want to live for you. Help us to come and praise you today. God, maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus is their Lord and Savior. They say, I never had anybody that loved me, no matter what I've done wrong, no matter what I've done good. Well, Jesus is the one who does that. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't have to change a thing right now. He loves you right where you are. He accepts you right where you are. And he wants to be your Lord and Savior. He wants to build that mansion for you in heaven. He wants you to go to a place where there's no tears, no suffering, no crying, no mourning, where you get a new body and a new creation. But you know what? That decision is up to you. If you feel God is calling you to come and accept him as his Lord and Savior, come and do that today too. Let's bring glory and honor to God. Let's praise him with our lives. And let's use everything that he's created us with to bless others. Thank you, Jesus, for all these things you've done for us. For it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen.